Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much that we can gather together in your name, Lord, and that we can open up your word and that we can sing to you and we can praise your name and we can do all these things and peace and security that we have, and Lord, and that we just have a relationship with you, Lord, and that you call us and that you move in our lives and you guard and protect us and watch over us. And Lord, I'm just so thankful for who you are and who I am in you. And I just pray that you would just help us this morning, just open up your word, help us understand what it is saying to us. Lord, help us understand and most of all, Lord, let it move from our heads to our hearts and let it change us from the inside out. Lord, I just pray that you just help us see this. Help us just understand you and who we are in you. And Lord, if there's anybody here today that has never heard this before, this miracle of knowing Christ, this great and glorious Christ, I pray, Lord, that you would open up their hearts and their minds and they would come to know you today, this morning. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up to 1 Corinthians chapter 17, chapter 7, verses 17 through 24. That's where we're looking at this morning. This will be the last sermon in this chapter, and we'll move on to chapter 8 starting next week. And you look in the middle of this chapter, you'll see these verses kind of look out of place in the message that's in them. But it all fits together in Paul and his thinking. Here's what I want you to think about this morning. God has called you, and he's assigned you a place to a place and a time to make himself known. He is assigned you a time and a place to make himself known. Your time is right now. Your time is right now. God knows everything. He knows every thought, every word, every action you and everyone else is going to do, and he's weaved them into this massive unfolding story of God redeeming a people to himself to bring them into this unique and special relationship of his son, Jesus Christ. Think about that for a moment. That's a big thought. That God knows everything that all of you are thinking right now. As someone else walks in a room, knows your thoughts, and he's weaved them all together into this one plan that's being played out. In Christ, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. In him, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for everything was created by him in heaven and on earth. The invisible and the visible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things hold together. Does that move you? Does that make you stop and think, wow, that's incredible. That's wow. That I'm part of something truly amazing, and I live in an amazing time, that Christ is physically building his kingdom now all over the world, and I'm a part of it. Just think about that. The opportunities you have in Christ. Or are you sitting right here thinking the world has gone the pot and there isn't any hope? are you this person that you're just so wrapped up in what you're doing that you're just comfortable where you are and you could care less about what's going on in the world, much less what God is doing? Or maybe this is you. You've picked up the Bible or you attended some Bible studies. You know there's something going on. And you know it seems pretty amazing, but you've really never really connected with God. And you've never really been discipled, and you just kind of feel powerless where you're at. And your life just kind of is filled with apathy, and you just kind of focus in on what you can control. Feel that way? Here is what I hope to achieve in this message. In this one message, I want you to know God has called you. And that he loves you and God will empower you. God will equip you to do things for him. And that greatness that will be done will not be measured by what you accomplish by the world standards. But it'll be measured by what you do for the kingdom of God. Because God knows what you're doing. He knows your heart. It's not what the world thinks is good and bad or is important or not important. It's what God thinks is important. That's what matters. That's what's going to matter when you face him. He's not going to care what someone else thought about you. He's only going to care about you and him. What'd you do for me? What'd you do? And I don't even want you to think that way. That's wrong. Strike that. I mean, you're going to be in front of him, and he's not going to ask you that question. You're just going to just tell him what you've done or you haven't done. Have you ever been in that position? I just now realize that. Have you ever, like, come across somebody, maybe a boss or somebody really important, and you just, all of a sudden, you just start blurting out all the things that you should be doing, you shouldn't be doing? And you know, as a pastor, I can meet people on the street and they confess everything to me as soon as they find out. I have no idea why. But they'll tell me why they do things and the good things they do and the bad things. They just let it all out. I don't even have to say a word. It's amazing to me. And I think that's what it's going to be like kind of in front of God. He's not even going to have to say nothing. You're going to confess everything. That's after you get up on your feet. You're going to tell him everything. What are you going to do in that moment? But I don't want us to live in fear. I want you to live in such a way that, because Christ is real and that he loves you, and yet you love him for who he is and who you are in him. All the gifts and all the other stuff is just, it's just extra. The prize is Christ. The gift is Christ and knowing Christ. And I just totally got off on a tangent. God will equip you. That living for something greater than yourself, living for others, living for the service of the others, to make Christ known, to live for Christ, is more satisfying life than anything else you could have. That's what I want you to grasp this morning. It is more satisfying than any other relationship that you could enter into. It's more satisfying than any video game that you could find, or sporting event, or movie, or book could ever hope to achieve. Is that too lofty a thought? Are some of you thinking right now that I've just kind of lost my marbles? Maybe you are. When you think that already. But here's what I really hope is happening in your heart. I hope right now that you're saying, I want that. I long for that. I need that in my life. This is the vision God has for us. I call to the Most High God, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. This is what we are called to be as a church. We are called to be part of a story to make Christ known, to know Christ and make Christ known. It's why we are here. It's why we exist. And we do it not out of some fear, but because Christ is great. He is wonderful. And we should shout that from the rooftops of our lives. So what's going on in this passage? Just read this passage. 1 Corinthians 17 through 24, chapter 7. And it goes like this. I'm reading out of the Holman Christian Standard Bible. However, each one must live his life in a situation the Lord has assigned when God called him. This is what I command in all the churches, that anyone already circumcised when he was called, he should not undo his circumcision. Was anyone called while uncircumcised, he should not get circumcised. Circumcision does not matter, and uncircumcision does not matter, but keeping God's commands does. Each person should remain in the life situation in which he was called. Where you were called while a slave, it should not concern you. But if you can become free, by all means, take the opportunity. For he who is called by the Lord as a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called as a freedman is Christ's slave. You were bought with a price. Do not become the slaves of men. Brothers, each person should remain with God in whatever situation he was called. So what's going on here? The Christian church is new. I think that's a hard thing for us to grasp sometimes, but we have to look at these are questions because the church is new. It's full of new believers, and they're working out a new faith. There wasn't 2,000 years of church history to guide them. This is brand new. Many new believers came out of the Jewish faith. In fact, the Roman government for a period of time thought it was Christianity was just a Jewish sect. And which meant when the Jewish leaders started persecuting the church, the Romans just thought it was just an in-house squabble, that they were just fighting amongst themselves. They didn't even see it as another religion altogether. It was only later that they realized what it was. It was something totally different, a separate faith. Here's something else that was happening. Slaves and slave masters, because you had a whole economy that was based upon a type of slavery, not like so much like our American slavery. In some ways it was, but in other ways, slavery was a way to pay off a debt. It was a way to take care of the poor. You would indenture yourself to somebody who would provide for you. If you were homeless, you didn't have anybody, you'd go work for them. You'd say, here, for the next 7 years, just take care of me and I'll do whatever. I mean, that was that kind of a mentality. It actually, in some ways, took care of those people who couldn't take care of themselves. Or if you had like a debt, you just didn't have like banks where you could just pay off somebody. You worked for the guy until your debt was paid. So what do you do with this? All of a sudden, now the slave master and the slave were in the same building, in the same church. They're brothers in Christ. What do I do? Do I just let off his debt? Do I just say he's good to go now? Does he pay off his debt? What do we do? If I'm a slave, do I continue being his slave? I thought you said I was free, Paul. Am I free? What's going on here? If I'm Jewish, do I continue following the customs and traditions? Or do I ignore the law altogether? And it didn't help that for the Jewish believers, that there was other Jewish Christians going around saying they had to practice the law. You need to get circumcised. If you're not, you've got to do that. They were telling them all these things. So Paul's getting hit with all these questions, and he's trying to answer them. And in this particular case, he looks at where you're called to stay there. And so what does this word called mean? Throughout these verses, he's using the word kaleo, which means ultimately, it's a Greek word that ultimately means to invite someone to accept a responsibility for a particular task, or implying a new relationship with the one who's doing the calling. And so in these verses, who's doing the calling? God is doing a calling, isn't it? And it says it in verse 17. God is doing the calling. So we can look at this and we can see that God has called us to a task, and he's also called us into a new relationship. He's called us to a task, and he's calling us into a new relationship. Before we can think about the task, we have to think about the task of called. We have to first understand this new relationship, because out of this new relationship, everything else is going to come from. The way I conduct my life, the way that I live, everything is about this new relationship that I have with God. And what does this calling look like? And you were dead in your transgressions. It says this in Ephesians. And this is a picture that Paul gives. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you previously walked according to the ways of this world, according to the ruler who exercises authority over the lower heavens, the spirit now working in disobedience. And if you want to follow me along, it's Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. We too were previously living among you in the fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of the flesh and thoughts, and we were by nature children under the wrath, as others were also. But God, in his rich mercy, because of his great love that he has for us, made us alive with the Messiah. Even though we were dead in our trespasses, you are saved by grace. Together with Christ Jesus, he also raises up and seats us in the heavens, so that in the coming ages he might display his immeasurable riches of his grace through the kindness to us in Christ Jesus. That's an amazing picture. Do you see that? For you were saved by grace through faith. It is not from yourself, it is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast, for we are his creations, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them. And then listen to Jesus. He says this in John 15:15 through 17. I did not call you slaves anymore, because a slave doesn't know what his master is doing. I've called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you that you should go out and produce fruit, that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. And this is what I command you, to love one another. Once we were lost, dead to God, and he called us into this new relationship with him and with one another. We have been called, we've been adopted, made heirs, given an inheritance. We are saved by grace through faith, for good works to produce fruit for which God has prepared ahead of time. The big thought here is not where you are in life, but what you are doing while you're there. It's not where you are, but what you are doing that counts. God has called you where you are for the purpose of sharing Christ with others. He's placed you in a place to share Christ with others. He placed you there, and he can also move you from there. And he will. You live long enough, you'll move around. Ask anybody. He has a reason for where you're at, and you are to remain faithful where you're at until he moves you. I look back on my life, and maybe you can relate with this. I've worked in places and for people I never imagined in my life. Would have any benefit that I wouldn't learn something from them, that it wasn't good for me in some way. But I find myself realizing that God used all the situations, good and bad, to shape me into who I am today. God never wastes an opportunity to grow you. He'll even use bad people to shape you into something, or bad situations. He never wastes an opportunity to grow you. Never. The other side of this coin is, you don't know how God is using you to shape someone else. I'm sure there's people in my life that thought, there's nothing that could come from knowing that guy. I know that. But I'm praying that God used them, used me in some way. But then there's other people. One of the great benefits of social media is reconnecting with people. I mean, it's been amazing, some of the people I've reconnected with, and I've been told by several of them that I made a big impact in their life. That 15 years later, they said, you took me to church once, and I'm a Christian now. I would have never known that if it wasn't for Facebook. I would have never known that. And so I'm blessed to have that. But just think about what it's going to be like when we all get together and we realize the connections and who shaped who and what impact you had on their lives. Because there's a lot of things we're probably not even aware of. But God uses us. And I'm very encouraged by this. And it makes me realize truly how great our God is, that he can use all this for good. You never know what you might say or what you might do that might impact somebody's life. Just don't know. So be careful. I want you to be encouraged. I don't want you to get sucked into the mundane. I don't want you to get so close to where you are in your situation that you lose sight of the big picture. There's so much going on around us. And I, especially right now, I can just feel like I'm being pulled in so many directions. So many things are demanding of my time and my attention. It's the height of this political season, and I feel my emotions being constantly tested from all sides. And I find myself struggling from a wide range of emotions. And it's very easy at this time to lose focus of why we are here. Why we are here. If you look in your bulletin's outline, you can look on the back. You'll see that I have the wrong use of the word your at the top. It should be your calling, like your. And I bring this to your attention, and why does it matter? It's just a simple mistake, right? I mean, we make it more and more now. You know, it's a Greek class that's teaching me grammar. It's an amazing thing. It matters because it says something about us. It says we're not paying attention to detail. It's saying we're sloppy. That we don't know the difference. That's even worse. In our Christian walk, it's easy to lose sight of who we are, and it all starts with the small things. what we say, what we do, and how we do them. Our actions say something about us and who we represent, even the small ones. We are ambassadors for Christ. We were bought with a price, and our lives are not our own. Christ died to set us free. We were lost in sin, dead to God, and now we're free and alive. Christ's love for us compels us to love others, to forgive, and to share Christ's love and grace with the world around us. We cannot lose focus of this and get wrapped up in other stuff. Why does it matter? It matters because the world is watching us. The world is watching us very intently. These last several weeks, we have seen Muslim extremists enter into one of our embassies and kill an ambassador named Chris Stevens, a father of three children, I believe, and he's from Davis, right here in Sacramento. And they killed three other people in this raid. We have seen thousands riot and destroy. People have been killed and injured by these radical claims that they were offended by a video. We all know that it wasn't a video. I mean, it's an insult to even say that to us. We know. We know. Last week, an Islamic imam destroyed and burned the Bible. Did you know that? You won't hear it. He ripped it apart and burnt it. It wasn't reported. Even if it was, none of us in this room would have even thought anything of it. It's almost expected. But do you see the difference in the reaction? You see it? I mean, if I would have saw it, I would have just handed him another Bible. Go for it. I got another one. And when you're tired, we'll talk. What's the difference? I can tell you. One leader was beaten and crucified. The other leader turned on his enemies with violence. One answered with the sword, and the other answered with the resurrection. One cannot tolerate criticism, and the other one has been criticized from the very beginning. One responded in hate, and the other responded in love. We are called by Christ, and we are called to love those who hate us, to pray for those who don't know Christ. We have to remember it's not about where you're called. It matters how you live in the light of your calling. Because we're called to be different. We're called to share Christ with this world that is full of hate. Those are not surprising things that happened. It's what they do. But Christ can change that. Can change it. You and I can't change it, but Christ can change it. We are Christ ambassadors, and we need to make each day count. It doesn't matter where you are now, but how you live. We have to remain focused, making the most of every day. The world around us doesn't need more broken promises, more of the same old story told in a different way. It needs hope. We need hope for a new day. We need hope for our children and our grandchildren. And we need hope that will truly change us. Christ is the living hope. Christ is the truth we can stand on. Christ can truly change the world. Let us live for Christ. Church, do you really want to see change in the world? It's not in a voter's booth. It's in Christ. Live Christ every day. Everywhere. This world is screaming for it. Christ. Lord, use us where we are. Lord, use us to reach those around us for your name's sake. Lord, I pray you will help us focus on you. Lord, help us to see the small things that make a difference for your kingdom. Lord, shine through us despite ourselves for others to see. Lord, use us to reach the world for your name and for your glory. In Christ's name, I pray. Amen.